ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. So glad to have you here today. And if you happen to be seeing the show for your second time or third time or fourth time, make sure you hit that like button or subscribe button. And don't be afraid to share. If you're watching us on Facebook and you're watching live, share that live out to your friends so that they can participate with us as well. And I appreciate you all being here, and we're going to have an incredible show today. I'm so happy to have back to the show Cindy Dale. And those of you who watch the show or listen to the show, Cindy's been here a few times before, and I'm happy to have her back. I'll tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. But we're going to have a powerful conversation today. And that is about the gift of uncertainty and the illusion of certainty. And we were having a conversation before we started and laughing and kind of musing about when we come together on the topic, any situation, and particularly for this show, is that usually the week is spent kind of experiencing parts and pieces of that. And this has definitely been that. So, but it's been that in a really good way to kind of reinforce this idea of the gift of uncertainty, and that we have been living through, particularly in the last decade, a continual kind of breakdown of what we have considered the certainties in our lives. And even more so, even in the last 2 years with the pandemic and all of the things that have been going on the planet and climate change and all of that stuff is rattling our cages from every direction, and really kicking the underpinnings of what we would consider to be certainty in our world. And for me, it's kind of interesting because it is the cornerstone, as I understand it, of consciousness in general, that if you think you're certain, just wait 5 minutes because the universe will come around and show you that that's not the case. And for a long time, I kind of thought that was, I mean, I know it's a joke, but I kind of thought it was kind of a pessimistic thought process. But it's really not, because even if you look at the teachers who, you know, the Eastern philosophy and the teachers in that philosophy talk about the idea of certainty, and that if you are in certainty, you are limiting your consciousness. You are not actually in growth because you have made a determination in the physical realm that doesn't serve, because it's only true for this moment. And then something else may be true for the next moment, and being able to walk through that. So interestingly enough, I'm a little, I don't know if flummoxed is the word, but I'm also excited because this topic I think is going to be pretty profound. And I'm excited to have Cindy come in. And I'm really excited for you guys to be out there to help with your energy as well as we dive into this amazing topic. And I think it's going to be an extraordinary show. So thank you for being here. I'm going to be right back after the break, and we'll carry on from there. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, fear is a choice. And it is. There you go. Fear is a choice, unraveling the illusion of our separation from love. Powerful book. And I know I wrote it and it seems kind of weird for me to say that, but I know, you know, as I do this show, as I've done the work that I do with the Science of Transformation, and as this book evolved in my own experience, the power of the information, the power of the ability for it to help transform my relationship with fear has been profound. And I know because I've shared it, because others have read it, because of others have experienced it, that it really has that ability, because it's not about giving you a Band-Aid. It's not about slapping something pretty on the top and saying, see how nice this is. This is about understanding that this energy, this thing called fear, is a manufactured product of the human experience that is not required of the human experience. And what I mean by that specifically is that here, we're 7.5 billion unique sparks of the divine inhabiting this beautiful planet. And there's so much we can do and accomplish, but in fear, we have to dumb down our consciousness. In fear, we have to limit who we are. And so changing your relationship with fear takes you from that very limited perspective, as I'm looking through my monocle, to a potentiality that you never knew was there before because you couldn't tap into it. You couldn't see it. Vibrationally, you could not access. And so changing the relationship with fear opens up those doors to the potential and opportunity that is your, for lack of a better way to say it, God-given right, that is your human-born right, that is your spirit-born right being here on this planet at this time. And being on this planet at any time, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. But Fear is a Choice is really about moving through those things, learning about how fear has been propagated in our experience, how it's been entrained into our experience, but even more importantly, where we picked it up and took the mantle. And where we continued as individuals to move that mantle forward in our own experiences. And then lastly, how to change that so that you're able to approach life from a much different perspective. What I call the opportunity-based, going from a fear-based consciousness to an opportunity-based experience. So fearsofchoicebook.com, check it out. The website's awesome. There's lots of good stuff there. All the order links are there. Testimonials, videos, book reviews, all that good stuff. So I appreciate it. Please check it out. And we'll be back right on the other side of this break. All right. My world is good. Here we go. This is a year of conscious creation, people, at least from my perspective. I self-generated, but it was the desire to bring an energy onto the planet, bring energies into this planet that can help us all transform our experience. And I believe that that transformation has to start with me, has to start with you. And so My World is Good is about those 7.5 billion worlds that are inhabiting this planet. And I say worlds because your unique world is all your creation. You are the only creator of it. No one can create your life for you. No one can change your life for you. No one can make your life anything other than what you want to make it, and without your consent or permission. And so being a part of that world, I wanted to bring a powerful energy to my world that was a sort of a neutral, positive thing that I could engage every day, that I could generate the appreciation for what I'm experiencing in my physical reality, and then noticing my world is good. And focusing both of those energies at the same time. My world is good as I look around and I take those snapshots in my life of all the amazing things that are happening. Now, is everything amazing and wonderful 24/7? No, but it is in a state of goodness. And because I know that state of goodness, I no longer have to fight with the things that show up that may not look like they are a part of my goodness. Because I am deciding that I want goodness to be the frame of my life. And what I know is that everything is always working out for me. The universe is always, and I am always creating to my highest good, even though sometimes I don't think I may not look like I am, or you may not feel like you are, or something's coming that you're a little concerned about. And what I know now is that that is the illusion of certainty, because I don't have to be certain that things are going to show up the way I think they should. But what I can be certain of, or what I can stay in clarity about, is they'll always show up in for my benefit, so that if I see it from that perspective, my world is good. My world is good. If I'm acting in integrity and in alignment with who I am, my world is good. So bring that into your experience. Share the movement. The movement doesn't require anything but you, your energy, your focus, your intention. My world is good. I don't need emails. I'm not looking for your money. I'm looking for you to participate at an energetic level to bring that energy onto this planet and create a powerful tipping point that shifts us from a negative, fear-based experience to a more positive, opportunity-based experience where we all are partaking of the same experience, that it's all working out for us. So my world is good. My world is good. 10 times in the morning when you get up, it's 10 times later in the day, and use it throughout the day when you feel like you're out of alignment. Find a moment. Get into the center. Look around your world. Find something you can focus on. Focus your appreciation, and then focus your intention. My world is good. My world is good. Thank you for participating. I love to hear how your experiences are. As you see the post moving around the planet, say something to me. Let me know how you're doing with My World is Good. What's showing up in your world? I'd love to hear about it, and I'd love to chat with you about it. So we're going to now go bring Cindy in. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back right after this break. All right, so we are about ready to dive in here, and I want to just give a quick introduction here. So Cindy Dale is an internationally renowned author, speaker, healer, and business consultant, and the author of 27 books about energy medicine, intuition, and spirituality. In addition, she has worked with over 70,000 clients and presented hundreds of seminars and workshops across the Americas and Russia and England and Wales and Amsterdam, Iceland, Costa Rica, Belize, Morocco, Peru, Scotland, and more. All fabulous places. I haven't been to all of them. She is also a favorite teacher and healer for China, leading in-person and online classes, and has been published in over 17 languages. And I am the good fortune to call her my friend and to have her on the show with us today.
Hi, Jim. Well, at least our friendship is certain, right?
Okay. I agree. That's what we, even when we focus our energy, you know, so.
Yeah, focus and create something good.
Absolutely. So this is feels like a big one. Feels like we took a big bite today, or we're taking a big bite today, and I'm excited about it. I'm a little I don't want to say nervous, but it's I feel it. So I'm trying to tap into that feeling and let that flow through today. So this is a powerful topic because if you take it in context, as I was saying at the beginning, of everything that we've been experiencing that has been like one blow after another to what we would consider certainty in our life, in my lifetime anyway, things that have always sort of been stable or been at least agreed upon stable are just not anymore. And there's very little that it feels like we can do about it, with the exception of like my world is good. Using your energy in a way that continues to bring forth a positive, as much as you can, uplifting positive energies, not being Pollyanna, but being connected, being, you know, I mean, before the show, Cindy and I talked for a few minutes about things that weren't necessarily going great, but we weren't harping in a negative space. We were sharing as a way of uplifting and noticing, boy, look at all the uncertainty that keeps showing up in our world. And how do we navigate that? How are we navigating that? And I think that's what the thrust of today is about, is to kind of share those experiences so that you guys out there can have a sense of, okay, it's not just me. I've run into that even in my own life, where I kind of all of a sudden I'm surprised because I'm talking to somebody who's saying the exact things that I've been experiencing over the last weeks and months, and me going, oh, just the fact that there's another human who's having the same experience feels better. even if it isn't resolved anything, it's like, oh good, it isn't, I'm not failing, it's not me, the universe doesn't hate me, you know, I'm not on the bad list. It's just the unfoldment.
We all share uncertainty, and I think most of us share a fear of it as well. So,
good point.
It is scary. I was just sitting here and thinking of, I live in Minnesota where it's almost always cold and lots of snow. And years ago, I had an old furnace. The certainty was that it would break down at least five times a winter. Right? So, and it would. And every single time it would do that, I would go, are the service people going to answer this time? I hope they're going to answer this time. I felt so much better getting a new furnace. And now I'm a few years into it. And I'm like, that could start happening again. So nothing stays the same. We know, because we've studied this in science, and scientists tell us, and it is true, everything's always moving. It's always vibrating. It's always changing. History, we don't repeat history. We think we do, but in the amount of time it takes me to just move my hands, I'm a different being. I've got different activities happening in the subatomic particles or in my hair or in the room or with the dogs over there or whatever it is. So, but we don't like uncertainty. We fight it. But, Jim, I'm going to make a point too that's on the opposite side. We also seem to rebel against that which is a little more certain. Like if I were to eat an entire chocolate cake every day, I would get fat. Right.
At some point,
that's sort of a certainty. So we get really confused about certainties and uncertainties because there's the law of averages that impact us.
Yes. I was thinking that, and I want to take this into a little bit different place. Not different place from where you are, but I was thinking earlier about something that really impacted me about this whole idea of certainty. And I completely lost it now that I've been talking about it, and it just completely escaped my mind. So I'm going to come back to it because I know it was important, but apparently not right this moment. So what we're going to do, this is a good place to, as we're started now, we've laid this out for you guys where we kind of want to talk about this whole idea of certainty and uncertainty. We're going to dive into that right after we take a moment to focus. Cindy will be right back with you as well. Our moment to focus is a time where I like to put my money where my mouth is on the show. And that is to talk about, not even to talk about, but to take us through an experience through meditation and through breath to, one, back up the belief in the need for a daily practice. That if this is where you come and this is where you get a chance to have your daily practice, I'm thrilled. If you get to listen to this somewhere and you get to take on this practice, I'm thrilled. That's ultimately what it's about, is the encouragement, the upliftment. Let's help each other to do this. And I also believe very strongly in where two or more are gathered. So I like us to reach out energetically to each other. And in this topic, everybody's energy helping to inform what Cindy and I are talking about today, so that we are engaged with you and answering questions that, even if you don't type them on the screen, they're still getting answered because they're part of the collective, that the energy that we're generating. So I'd like you to take a moment and just take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you do that, just let your body relax. Gently activate your spine. If you're sitting down or laying down, just notice how I'm kind of moving my body and my shoulders. Just lift your torso up as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, and activate your spine. Just roll it around, feel it, feel places where it might be a little tense, and just gently roll into those as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. So with each breath, breathe into those spots that you feel that tension. Breathe in through the nose and focus that energy right into that point that you feel that muscular tension or whatever it might be there, and then let the breath open it up. And as you exhale, just let the energy go and continue to activate the spine. The activation of the spine to me is a cornerstone, is a pillar of a great daily practice, because the spine is a conductor. The spine is a conductor of as above and so below, right? It's energy coming and energy going. And if the spine is blocked, if the spine isn't open and moving, we tend to be more rigid. We tend to be stuck in that idea of certainty. And when we can allow the flexibility that the spine offers, we begin to feel more comfortable in the uncertainty, because we realize it's not a negative. It's not trying to knock us off our game. It's bringing us to a point of focus in this present moment. It's causing us to stop and be here now. And that's really where everything is, right? We've heard this years and years and years, and I've heard it my whole life. And finally, here I am, 56 years old, grasping this whole concept that these things like this push and pull are all part of the now. And so as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, and now you've activated the spine, become aware of your feel. Let your eyes close. And I want you to become aware of your energy. What is your energy? Your energy is the field around you. So as you close your eyes and you're breathing in through the nose and you're breathing out through the mouth, just become aware of the expansiveness of all of who you are. This little physical body is but a micro bit of all of who you are. As magnificent and incredible as this physical vessel is, you are so much more. And so as you feel into that energy, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to consciously call that energy into your heart space. Call that energy into you. Feel it as it fills your heart, the warmth and the tingling that goes on. As the spine is activated, you feel that powerful energy in your chest, in your heart, all of this incredible consciousness. And I want you to allow that consciousness now, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, to just travel in the inside of you. Go check out your brain. Check out the brain stem and where it connects to that extraordinary spine. And as you travel, go into the fluid that's holding the spine and notice all the nerves that are coming off the spine, that are moving into the various systems of your body, into the organs, into the tissues that are creative feeling that give you the ability to experience this physical reality. And from the inside, feel that appreciation for all of those systems that are working in harmony to keep you alive and present in this moment on this planet. And even within that is uncertainty, because there's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't necessarily comprehend about the magnificence of this, but we don't allow it to be a stumbling block. We seek to better connect. We seek to better understand. So feeling that enormous, incredible being inside of this vessel is just extraordinary. And bringing that energy back to focus into the heart space, we're going to do a quick breathing process, because breath is chi. It's life force. It's prana. It's the energy that animates our life. And so when we learn to manage breath, we learn to begin to manage our energy, because they are one and the same. And when we allow the breath to become more conscious, we become more conscious of our energy. So I want you to breathe in through the nose to a count of four. You're going to breathe, inhale, two, three, four. And at the top, you're going to rest and you're going to feel that fullness. And then you're going to release it all. Two, three, four, five, six. And while you're at the bottom, rest in the emptiness in anticipation of the next moment. As you engage the lungs and inhale, two, three, four, feeling all of that amazing life force just filling every cell of your body, relaxing the shoulders and the neck, and now purging it all. One, two, three, four, five, six, beautiful. Letting all that old energy and air out as you rest in the void, in that place of creation, in that place of void, just waiting in anticipation as you engage the lungs and you inhale, two, three, four, feeling full and amazing, relaxed, and then consciously letting it all go. Two, three, surrendering all of it. Four, five, six, as you rest in that empty space in anticipation, just being in the void. And then again, take that cycle of breath a couple more times on your own. Let yourself feel that breath. Be aware of how you breathe and just take in as much air as you can, rest in it, and then surrender it. That is a moment of creation right there. Every breath is a moment of creation. Relish it. Play with it, enjoy it, get comfortable with it, because it is all of who you are. And continue that breath, taking in these words and just letting them wash over you as you continue to empower and center yourself into this moment. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. And feel the body breathe that in. And let it go and surrender into it. And gently bring your awareness back to this moment, back to this space, as we come back to bring Cindy back into the show. And we carry on with this amazing conversation. Thank you all out there for participating. And let's bring that energy home. Here we go. Bringing Cindy back. Hey, welcome back.
Feel relaxed. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. All right. So I want to start with the gift, if that's okay. Why I call the gift of uncertainty. You know, the amazing thing to me is we run around in this planet thinking we know things, thinking we know about things, thinking we've learned things. We've gone to school. We've gone to university. We've gone to get a PhD. We've gone to get a doctorate. Now we know things. And those things are somehow become anchors of the reality that we want to create, thinking that that's going to create the illusion that we have been given our whole lives about the certainty of. So here we are, we're migrating through our 20s and we're getting through our 30s and we're doing the plan. We're rocking the plan. But the cool thing to me is that the gift of uncertainty is really about understanding what you don't know. And really, it's not much in the scheme of things. You know, I mean, you, me, all of us, I'm not claiming any more of that. You know, I just have an opportunity to talk about my experience in this format. And hopefully that reaches people. So what are your opening thoughts in that regard?
Well, again, most of us, even if we lie to ourselves and think, oh, I'm okay with uncertainty, most of us aren't. You know why? It doesn't feel safe. We want to think when we get up in the morning, the sun is going to be there. Okay, it can rain for a while, but then it's going to come back. We want to believe that person that we avowed ourselves to is going to remain with us and not going to cheat. Most of the issues that people come to me for have to do with, but then this happened, or I convinced myself this was real, and then I found out it's not. So, but you know, there is a beauty in the absolute truth, a complete truth of uncertainty. Because unless there's uncertainty, there is not change and there aren't any choices and you can't be creative. You just can't. I mean, I think about like Vincent van Gogh, you know, the post-impressionist who, you know, had some challenges and had some troubles and life was hard and he went off to paint coal miners. And then somewhere along the line, you know, he started to say, why don't I just paint the colors I see? Probably bipolar. We don't know. We don't know what was, or epileptic. We don't really know what was happening in his brain, which we would think is scary because he couldn't count on not getting headaches or having a good day. But in the middle of that, he started to see the world in a way that it is more truthful of light and movements of light. And, you know, the uncertainties in his life led him to create for the rest of us, to show us something we too can embrace and can enable us to shine, just like he shone.
I love that. I love that perspective. And you triggered my memory. Actually, your first sentence triggered my memory. And to that, I want to say that part of the work that I do has to do with shifting from that fear-based place to that opportunity-based place. And the challenge that happens is that the ego, its desire is sameness. It is based, predicated on the idea that what I did yesterday, I lived through. So tomorrow can be the same, and tomorrow can be the same, and tomorrow can be the same. And you get the point? The point is, that we are hardwired physically for sameness equals safety, because the ego, and this is my perception of ego. Ego to me is the physical conscious, the consciousness that is born of this physical body. It is not the same as the energy of that expanse we were talking about in the meditation. This is a consciousness born of the fact that I have a physical vessel here. And its desire is to keep you alive. Its mandate is survival. That's it. The mandate is survival. And so it looks at everything and anything as, is it threatening my survival? Is it not threatening my survival? Is it something I need to attend to or something I don't need to attend to? And so it drives this idea that we have to have certainty, because it, this consciousness thinks that certainty is what keeps it alive and physical on the planet. The reality of us is that's complete opposite, is in a way. It's not that. But because we have evolved into such a density in the fear-based experience, we've given a lot of credence to that idea because it supports the limiting consciousness. And so the gift of uncertainty is the recognition that it's just about releasing the idea that everything has to be the same all the time. The releasing the idea that change is somehow not good, when we all have desire, we all have goals, we all have things we want to accomplish. We think of them in a vacuum of individuality instead of the wholeness of all that we are, so that we see these events, as I was saying earlier, that these events that show up are literally there to help us move with as much ease and flow to the next step of the things that we have in our energy that we desire. Now, we can do a whole other show about what you got in your energy that you desire, because that can be loaded with negative crap. And so you're creating that. But understand that that's the premise here, that sameness equals safety is on one side and creation is on the other.
It's true. It's true. We have to be open. And the brain, though, it's currently science is showing that the brain is actually a quantum field, that it interconnects with all the other quantum fields. The brain is able to connect to higher ideas and ideals so many, you know, more times and so many more powerfully, you know, important ways than we allow it to. So we limit ourselves mainly because we want certainty. We don't want to think a thought or funk a thought, you know, that doesn't fit in that paradigm that says, this is safe, this is where I am. And so often I look back and I even look around my life or those of my children, and I see the greatest transformations have followed those moments of crisis where you have to make a choice with absolutely no guarantee. Yeah. My youngest son, in fact, just went through this. He was pretty certain of getting drafted this year in baseball, pretty high on the list. Mm-hmm. He got COVID, settled in his back. He would stand on the mound and not be able to move. So tragic and so traumatic. And I could watch, you know, his dreams fly out with his tears, right? It's the certainty was gone. There was no certainty. There was a, could this even happen, Mom? Can I even make it? Can I even turn this around? And, you know, lots of months of this and that and help and this, you know, everything. He just said, you know, a lot of this is because where I am is really negative and I know I'm getting sabotaged and I have to make a different choice. So he decided to go someplace for training and he quit the school with no concept of anybody wanting him beyond this. Nothing, completely off a cliff, except I'm just going to go train and get better again. That's what I'm going to do. He's received several full ride offers, partial ride offers. He's picked a school. Now, here's what's funny. And he's back to where he was, if not farther. All right. Because he's not in that negative energy that does, you know, contain you. Mm-hmm. What was very interesting is that, and this kind of throws that really funny wishbone in the middle. He reminded me after he left and he told me, I do believe in energy now, Mom, that it affects you. Okay. Right.
That's funny.
He said, you know, Mom, you don't remember something you told me about 3 or 4 years ago. He said, you were channeling, you were giving me a message and you said, you will get drafted, but not from the school you're at. It's going to be a school that's connected to dogs. Well, what does that mean? Right. Well, Miners here, they're no help on the baseball field. I'll tell you that. Okay. They'll eat the hot dogs and leave the ball, you know, kind of laying on the ground. They're not even going to retrieve it. So the school he's going to, the mascot is a dog. It's a bulldog.
Oh my gosh.
Well, think about, but there was nothing that was certain about that path. Mm-hmm. My son had to make the choices in the moment to grieve, to deal with things, to take a risk, to count himself, to come up with a set of standards that meant something from his value system, not based on the things, you know, he was using 3 years ago to make a choice. Yeah. He had to get to the place that he was big enough that could come true. I find that very fascinating.
Actually extraordinary. And even more interesting to me is the fact that even though you're his mom, but a significant person in his life, you also became a guardrail for his consciousness by just saying, I don't think it's there, something about dog. And he's like, okay, I've been living with the crazy woman for a long time. I know what the deal is. But so I'll just put that back there. And the cool thing is he doesn't discount it. He just kind of sets it there and lets it be, which is the whole point. Just let it influence your space, because there's the gift in the uncertainty is I'm navigating and, ooh, there's a breadcrumb. Ooh, there's my next lantern. Ooh, there's my next lantern. And it's building the trust and the confidence in the self that we were talking about in the meditation, not this ego structure, but the self that is so magnificent in and of itself, but it helps us to reconnect there. And I think that's where the uncertainty is so powerful, is that it's really, the effort is in to connect us to that and to disconnect us from this egoic structure that is limiting our experience. And I think that's why I think it's, like you, I think it's a gift. And the thing that you said, the first thing that you said that he was doing, do you remember the first thing on the list you said he did?
He
breathed.
He learned.
That was the first thing he did. And I went, yes, yes. Exactly. Because that's it right there. It's the breath.
It is the breath. And he learned how to do that even, you know, kind of more religiously on the mound. And you know what? When the COVID attacked and his system wouldn't move, he was like, I can't do anything. When he could, he got there and he stopped being scared of, am I going to be able to pitch or not? Mm. He got to a point where he said, you know, I just have to go out there. I stand there and breathe and I'm going to see what's going to happen because I can't control this.
Yeah.
This is where I'm at. I can only be where I'm at. Not an easy thing for a young 20-ish year old person or a, you know, 30, 40, 50, 80 year old person to get. Like, I can only be where I'm at and that has to be okay. And I'm going to stand in it.
Just made my heart go, poof. Listen, I mean, the feeling of that trust and the feeling of that I am in this moment and I'm going to be as present in this moment as I possibly can. Just breathtaking. We got to take a break and we're going to go on the other side of the break. And Cindy's going to chat with you guys. She's got a new book coming out in just a couple weeks, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Three weeks, really.
And among the many amazing books. And so we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, Cindy will be here with you to tell you all about all the great things she's got going on in her world. So we'll be right back. This is a short one. We'll be right back. And you're on.
I'm on. I have some very exciting adventures, not just in truth, just also in energy. I think maybe they're one and the same coming up. And I have a new book, Chakras, Food, and You, coming out in about 3 weeks. There it is, co-written with Dana Childs. It's a fun book. This isn't a diet book. In fact, one of the premises is you want to be in your harmonious weight where you just get to be naturally yourself and wear the clothes you like and, you know, whatever else is important. Go do your type of exercise. So it helps you figure out your major chakra. That's a concept I've been working with for 30 years, actually. we usually have a primary major chakra through which we operate, our soul operates, so we can be who we are. You figure that out and you can actually kind of fine tune exercises, ways to meditate, you know, how to eat, the type of supplements you might want. So you can set up a whole healthcare program, at least loosely, for yourself. So I have that book. And then starting August 10th, it's going to be on my website really soon. I have a new shift program class coming out. It is going to be working with what I call the power pathway, which is a level of reality that in which exists forces and powers and different types of energies that you can use to make swift and effective change. So those are the two kind of most exciting projects sitting on my lap right now.
Fantastic. I love that. I also had another of your books here that we talked about before, but I wanted to throw it up there because that was the most recent one, right?
That was the most recent. And that actually, just like yours just won an award, that just won one of the Cover Visionary Awards, a gold medal in health and healing. So I know when I first started writing that category was alternative health and healing. And now they took out the word alternative.
Even better. Wow. And
we're starting to understand that it's all health and healing. So it's a very helpful book to work through deeper issues.
Good. Yes. Yes. So CindyDale.com is where Cindy's main website. Essential Energy with Cindy Dale is another. Is that your company?
That's my company. Yep. So all you have to do is go to CindyDale.com and it shows you what's CindyDale.com,
and there you go. So check her out, guys. Lots of cool things going on there. And by the way, Ginny, do you know Ginny? I'm going to say, Ginny's been on the show before. Ginny is another amazing healer, but she just wanted to say, hey, excellent co-host. and I have to agree.
Love her.
And Jackie over in Kansas there says, fun show. Thanks, Jackie. Good to see you as well. All right. Let's head back into our amazing topic. So we were talking about the gift. Now let's dive into the illusion. So the illusion is kind of interesting because I think that in order, you know, as we're talking about this, it's becoming a little clearer as we're thinking about, so if it's about being present in this moment, if it's about being here and now, then certainty has to be an illusion. It has to be, because if you're in the present moment, everything is new. Everything is born. Everything is created in that moment. And while it seems like everything, you know, okay, this phone has been here and that tree has been here and this house has been here, but you're different. The energy's different. You're not, everything is different in this moment to the next moment. And so why would you want to be nailed down to how you feel in this moment when the next moment can be juicier and the next moment can be more beautiful or more profound or even more painful, quite honestly, because it's taking us more deeply into our experience. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's true. It is an illusion. Everything's constantly in flux. We know this scientifically. Even if you're perfectly still, they've been able to measure that you can find an electron from, well, they weren't testing Cindy Dale, but one of Cindy Dale's electrons is going to be a football field away. Who knows where my subatomic particles are? I think there's someplace really cool, though. I think when I'm cleaning the house, they're not.
Yes.
What happened to that martini in Tahiti is what my subatomic particles are doing. And since Cindy doesn't drink, they're really having a good time.
They're really having a good time.
They are. But there really isn't certainty. We think there's going to be. We chatted beforehand. I had a big lesson in that this week. We set the topic and immediately my business account, my checking account got hacked. All right. Ugh. I've had it 30 years. It's a legacy account. I was really important at this bank for 30 years. Gone. It's gone. I had to close it and get a new one and the banker screwed up. So I could not get to any money for 6 days. Nothing. Nada. And I settled into it. Terror, fear. What if it's never fixed? I get the ritual, the dance of, but this isn't right. This was certain. This is 30 years. But after a few days, I thought, you know, I'm fine. I have food. I can walk the dogs. I still have clients. Like, well, everything works itself out. And I needed to settle into, I can accept whatever's going to be with this. Because when I then saw that I had a 2-hour break, which I never do on a work day, I could go to a different banker during their banker's hours, which I'm usually working, and sit down. And I just came from my honest place. I told her, you know, I'm really scared. I'm really nervous. You know what I really want is my bank account back. Can you like just get it back for me? She looked at me and she goes, yeah, we'll do that for you. Yeah. It was about being real too, not pretending I wasn't reacting, right, going through it, working it through, you know, and coming to a place of just saying, hey, this is where I am. What can we do? And it resolved within an hour at that point. But, you know, there isn't certainty. That account could be gone tomorrow again. I get it. I can't attach. It's that attachment that gets
good. Good word, and a great way to finish that, because I think that's a really good place of addressing the illusion, because the illusion is driven off the need for attachment, right? We're so in need of, I need, this is good. Let me hold on to this because it's good. And this I don't want to hold on to because it's not good. So go away. But we forget that our attention, our focus is what drives energy. So if all of your energy, and you've all heard this, I mean, Law of Attraction talks about this ad nauseum. All of them talk about it. The thing you put your attention on is the thing that's going to grow. So if you are into attachment, then your illusion about certainty gets even greater, because you are literally completely unstable in that experience. It's like, the visual I just had was, imagine that you're standing on one toe, trying to balance your entire body with your luggage and your car and your house and your kids. And you're like this, always trying to find, oh my gosh, it's going to fall. Imagine how that feels. That, I mean, you don't have to imagine it. We all have that experience in some form or another at some point in time. And I think to your point is now let's shed that. Let's put the stuff down. Let it do its thing, you know, and let me do my thing. And I want to put my focus, like my world is good. Focus into those things that bring you joy, that uplift your energy.
I do not believe that we are aware most of the time of how attached we are to the negative, which is one of the things you're saying. I think about my son Gabe when he was like, Mom, I'm just going to get worse and worse. And I was like, or you can learn a different way to pitch and get better.
Exactly.
Right? He finally got it. He goes, oh, instead of just hitting 94, 95, I want to hit 96, 98 miles an hour. I'm like, yeah. So just where you want to go in the middle of this. And, you know, how many times I meet people stuck in a really bad relationship or with an addiction, and they're sort of like, well, I can't leave. I can't.
Just had that conversation this morning.
It'll get worse. Right. If I leave, my life will get worse. If I quit drinking, I won't have any friends. I'm like, or things get better. Or maybe they get worse for a while and then they get better. You don't know, but is this where you want to be? And if not, start letting go and see what else you need to move into your life.
And recognizing that the choice to indulge those things, the choice to abuse ourselves is out of fear of the uncertainty. And yet we're doing an activity that will ultimately always create uncertainty. Isn't that interesting paradox that how we choose that? Because you choosing, and this I'm like, this is coming out now, like choosing to be in a negative place with yourself. It's not, yeah. Oh, crud, man.
That's it. No, but that's it. We do that because it gives us the feeling of certainty, but it creates uncertainty. If you're an addict and you're drinking or you're taking your opiate or you're doing this or that, you know what? You don't have control over yourself. You will create more uncertainty. That's the irony. You create a mess is what you create. And you don't create yourself. You're coming from you know, kind of a coping mechanism. You're coming from a place of stress and reactive stress, but you're not being proactive, and you're certainly not in touch with your true self. The solution to all of this is, where's my true self? Where's my compass? You know, where's that core? How do I be there? And then I say to myself, so how do I be with this event? How am I to be with this? And for me, I open up to whatever word you use for God when I'm asking that question. You know, like when my bank account was crashed, I was like, oh, help, please. I did not think it was just going to come from my inside. So maybe if it happens again, I'm certainly going to have a better sense of how to do this. Yeah. But we can ask for help too.
Amen to that. And you reminded me of, actually, you took us beautifully into the next segment, which is talking about remedies and tools and exercises. I was reminded of last year during the pandemic, I was on unemployment and for a period of time, 6 months or so. And toward the end of that experience, I got a letter from Colorado Unemployment that said something about something, something wasn't right in the system or whatever. We're sorry, but you have to pay us back $9,000. And I went, excuse me? You know, I'm like, I did nothing wrong. I was honest in my application. I've done everything you've asked me to do. This is crazy. What, I have to pay you back $9,000? What? And in the moment of it, again, certainty versus uncertainty, if something will create uncertainty, it's mess with your money, right? Money will always destabilize
money and health.
But the tool that I found that helped me the most in that circumstance was that I did not pay an ounce of attention to it. Not even an ounce. I saw the letter and I went, this is nuts. And I don't know what to do with this, but what I'm not going to do is put energy into it. I'm going to put you over here to the side. I'm going to leave you there until I have a sense of clarity or something shows up that helps me to know where I'm going to step into this. You know, and I'm not ignoring it from the sense that I'm not saying it isn't happening. I'm saying I am not giving my energy to it at all. And I literally spent the next day just every time it would come up. Thank you, but we're over here. Yeah, no, thank you. We're over here. And I would not allow myself to, and within a day or so, I literally forgot about it. And 3 days, 4 days later, I got a letter from the state that said, we realized that this error was our error. And so we've just decided to leave it all alone. And we're not going to ask anybody for anything. We understand that the error was on our end. And that was that. And I went, is this the government? What? but they sent it in writing. So, you know, I'm like,
yeah, you're gonna laminate that.
Laminate that. But again, these things that I think are tools for this are about recognizing attachment. So when you particularly, it's a good place to start. If I want something or if I want to do something and I'm feeling resistance in it, where I'm, you know, like a good example is I was supposed to go on a trip tonight and the trip got canceled at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We were going away for 5 days and it was going to be extraordinary and we were going in the mountains and camping and it was really going to be cool. And it still will be at a future date. But the thing about it was here I was for days, literally. You'd think I should be excited because I'm, you know, we're going on a wildflower trip. We're going to be up in the mountains looking at all this incredible beauty and the thing that I live for. I love being in Colorado for that reason. And to have it evolve to a point of over the last 2 days saying to my friend a couple times, hey, are we doing this? Is this happening? Yeah. Even last night went shopping at the thrift store so we could buy all the kitchen stuff and have all of our kitchen stuff when we got it all done and cleaned. I'm packing this morning and the trip is suspended. But what I do about that is, and what I did about that in the moment was to recognize that, yes, it's disappointing. I'm not going to pretend I wasn't disappointed. You know, I'm not going to pretend that there wasn't conflict in me about it. But I also recognize and know that you have to stop. And as you said earlier, breathe, because the emotional reaction is not the reality of the situation. It is the response to the jarring of what is supposed to be certain. And the uncertainty showed up and I went, now, how do I deal with this uncertainty? Well, how I did was I breathed. What I did was I went into my meditative thing. I went to, okay, I've got to get my energy right. So one, I can speak to my friend. Two, I can engage my husband and my family and my life without carrying this, my life is over, you know, energy. And so the breath was huge. And I spent, it was 15 minutes of just focused breathing and centering and grounding myself. And interestingly enough, not 15 minutes after I finished, and my friend and I have had conversation and it's all good. And, you know, it was a health issue and blah, blah, blah. But the thing that happened not maybe 15 minutes after that was I was on Facebook and the Facebook group for Crested Butte, which is where we were going to go, had a big notice on it that said, hey, everybody, the weekend's here. There's not going to be any camping places left, or the camping places are all gone and it's going to be a crazy weekend. And I went, interesting. I'm really glad we're not going to drive 3.5 hours to go find out there's nowhere to camp.
That's what tends to happen is if we give it enough space, we can see that there's something beautiful getting concocted.
That it's always working out for us. And if we trust that and trust that our intention is, you know, your intention in creating is always about upliftment. It should be. I don't know how it can't be because it's always taking us to newer and better and greater. To surrender that anchor, to surrender that need for I don't know how it's going to look because you don't know what's between you and the thing you desire.
No, we don't know. We don't know what. We don't know timing. We don't know. I just finished a fiction packet. It's a great packet for a trilogy that I'm reading called The Voice of the Grail and da da da. Ooh. And I finished it in time to submit it to a contest, but I don't care about the contest. The contest means nothing to me. I used it as a marker to get the package done, and I'm going to ignore the contest and now finish the proposal, right? Because I think there's that, you know, we can use what's in our life, but we can't get fixed on it either.
Yes. Good. Good, good. So focusing on those attachments, you know, those places where we, what's the word that I want? I call it resistance. I call it a lot of different things. It's all the same energy. It's just, but to me, it's a form of resistance. It's where you feel into it and you know something's rubbing. You know, that's the time to stop and go. At that point is to notice the rub. You know, I think the thing that was so disarming for me when I went at 1 o'clock the party was over was that I knew it was going to be over and I didn't choose to believe it. I've known it's going to be over for 3-4 days. And yet I played into the illusion of, because again, I really wanted to do this, but waking up this morning even and noticing myself going, Jim, there is zero enthusiasm for this trip.
It's not happening.
Oh my God. Do I need to what do I need to do? Should I just not go? You know, what's the deal? And, you know, feeling all those weird feelings and again, focusing, breathing, getting present in this moment and saying, yeah, you know, it does feel uncomfortable. And what I didn't do was that I didn't tap into the feeling and either go to my friend completely and say, hey, this is not feeling like it's happening. Where are we at here? And so when it did happen, I was in a shock state, which was kind of bizarre because I was in denial.
Yeah, not a good place to live.
But that place is where many of us live.
We do.
And I say that for all of you out there who can relate to all of those experiences that you've had where, you know, maybe your intuition isn't as fine-tuned as you might like it yet. It doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't mean that it isn't flowing to you continually. The thing about it is flowing to you continually. It's your resistance to everything else that only allows little bits to flicker through periodically. When you lose the resistance, you get a flood. I mean, it's like, you know, you get the wave. It's incredible. So again, I just reiterate, you know, releasing those attachments, getting present into the moment, however you do that.
Breathing. And,
breathing. Exactly. Breathe. We are already at the end of our time. Amazing how quickly it flies. I would love to leave the last thing to you, if you have anything you would like to say or share about this topic that we have today. For everybody out there to take on their weekend.
All that flies into my head is to very deliberately a few times a day start to equate uncertainty with joy.
Oh, I love love that.
Any version of joy, calm, peace. How about relief that you're not in charge of everything, right? As a super mom, I mean, I'm not in charge of it all. Wow, what a relief. So I think it'd be wonderful if we all very deliberately started to get those two concepts and realities connected.
Yeah. And is the mom in the bleachers sort of part of that?
Yes, it is. Yes. I am working on a book for energy sports as a mom in the bleachers. Yes,
look at you go, girl.
I do little recordings as a mom in the bleachers, giving parents in the bleachers tips, like how to pack really well, how to wear five sweaters all at the same time when you go to cold games. So I know so much more about baseball than I think I should ever have learned.
That's fantastic. All right, y'all. I want to thank you all for being here. Cindy, as always, an extraordinary and wonderful time with you. And thank you all for being here. Have an amazing weekend. We'll see you next week. And until then, find your joy, people. That's what it's about. Love you. Talk to you very soon. And we'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. Thanks, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescientetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.